Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Well, congratulations to you and to me. We've made it to Friday. You know, some weeks are harder than others. And for whatever reason, this week seemed to drag on and on. And Mello is here, too.
Good morning.
I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning into the show. But, yeah, it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, man. I was just like, is it Friday yet? And, of course, the answer was no, not even close. And, of course, I came down with this cough. I don't know if I told folks on the radio or if I even told you, Mello, but... Mm-hmm. So last weekend we went to Salt Lake, and I don't know, was it last weekend? Anyway, and I was so thrilled because our two the older twins, they're almost four, they're very active. And putting it nicely, they're very active, and I was honored and thrilled because this last Saturday, I guess it was two Saturdays. Anyway. They came and sat on my lap and wanted me to read books to them.
Oh, I love that.
And I'm like, this is so awesome. So we sat and, for 2 hours on the couch reading books together. And they just, you know, every time I'd finish a book, they'd grab another. Here, go, go, go. You know, and they point to it and they'd say, read. And that's an awesome thing. You know, and studies have shown, besides the studies, I love doing it. But studies have shown that reading to your kids and grandkids is very, very beneficial to them. The only problem was both of them had colds. They coughed. And at 3 years old, they don't really, you know, their parents try to teach them to cover their mouth, you know, or cough into their sleeve or whatever. But, you know, it doesn't really happen. And so I knew when I was reading to them, I'm going to get this cough. Mm-hmm. And so it manifested itself on Monday, and I've had it all week long. It's just right now at the very tail end. It's almost gone. But... honestly, I was okay with that. I was willing to take the hit because of the 2 hours of reading, and it was worth it.
I love that.
So, you have grandkids?
I do. I have two, and one more on the way in June. And I'm going to go see the two in Arizona next weekend.
They're in Arizona, okay? Mm-hmm. Down
Gilbert.
Phoenix area, or I don't know where Gilbert is.
If I knew directions, I'd tell you. But it's in Gilbert.
That leads us right into what we were going to talk about a little bit to start off the program. I have, and I'm not going to say which of my children, but I have several of my children who cannot go anywhere. They live. Now, I'm going to out them a little bit. They live in the Salt Lake Valley. Mm-hmm. And if you tell them, just go over to such and such a road or such and such a west or whatever, they'll be like, huh, what's the address? And I'm like, what do you mean? I just told you where to go. They said, yeah, but I got to put it in GPS.
Mm-hmm, that's me.
Or I can't get there. And mm-hmm. I'm like, Salt Lake is laid out in north, south, east, west grid. If you know the address, you know pretty much exactly where this place is. And they're like, no, I can't find it without... If you're going to have to give me the actual address, and I'll put it in GPS.
Yeah. And I feel thought, their pain.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that in a second. I thought to myself, this is terrible. What has happened? And maybe I have no reason, no justification for being unhappy about it, because they can still find their way as long as I get them the GPS address. But sometimes I think, man, what has happened here? Now, you were telling me that your husband plays this game with you, mm-hmm. because you are kind of the same way. You're a GPS person.
Yes.
What is the game that he plays?
So he'll drive us around, and he'll drive us into a neighborhood that
okay.
I'm unfamiliar with.
So you're in...
Like Washington.
Yeah, okay, Washington City.
I live in Santa Clara.
Okay, all right.
He'll drive us around deep into a neighborhood, and then he'll get out, and he'll say, "Okay, get us out." And he'll switch places. And It takes a while, and he thinks it's so amusing, but I really just get turned around, and I can't.
I laughed so hard I coughed. But, you literally, is it because you're a passenger in the car? Is it because you just don't know?
I don't pay attention. Like, I can even be driving myself into a neighborhood, and I'm coming out, and I'm like, shoot, did I turn right or left to get in? And now it's the opposite. And then my friends are like, turn right. I'm like, oh, thank you. and I turn right. And I'm like, because sometimes I'll go the wrong way. I'm like, well, that was just for fun. So we're going to go back around and go the other way.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
It's pretty so sad. Rough. It's worse when, like, clients are following me to, like, get to the place.
And you don't know where you're going.
And I follow the GPS. And I'm like, why'd you tell me to go this way? It's the other way. And then I'm like, oh, sorry. Turn around. And we just...
There's that famous scene in The Office. Now, I know The Office was back from the 90s, but early 2000s, but where Michael Scott punches in an address in GPS and ends up turning right into a lake. I hope you're not that bad.
No.
No.
No, but I have driven following the GPS, and it took me around a block to get just when I could have just gone straight, and I was so mad at the GPS. But I followed it because I didn't know where I was. Mm-hmm.
When I was in college, I was a delivery driver. I actually really loved delivery jobs right from the age of 16 on up to until I graduated college. I always tried to get delivery jobs. I really enjoyed them. There was something about not being in the office and having the boss staring at you and all that stuff. So I've delivered just about anything you can think of. Auto parts, industrial parts, flowers. Yes, I worked at a flower shop delivering flowers. Careful how I say this, but I picked up deceased persons.
No, you did
working
not.
For a mortuary. I did, yes.
That's a dead end job.
People were dying to see me though. I delivered pizzas often. I worked for I think 3 or 4 different pizza companies over the years, including Brick Oven and Provo, and that's kind of what brought me to this. We're talking about directions. So Provo Orem, and our delivery area was huge at Pizza Factory. And people were willing to pay extra because Brick Oven Pizza was that good. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the one down here didn't survive.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I love that place. But anyway, I would get, and this Brick Oven in Provo had their own fleet of cars. They had little S10 pickups and they had little Ford Fiesta cars. So you didn't even have to use your own car. You would just go out but Orem and Provo are famous for all these little dead end streets, these little cul-de-sacs where there's only one entrance. And so if you follow the address and you try to get there by way of the address, there's no access to the house. You have to figure out how to get it. And of course, we didn't have GPS back then. We're talking about the late 80s, early 90s. And so I learned Provo Orem very, very, very well over the year or plus that I worked there. Actually, if you count the flower, I worked at a place called the Flower Basket and then Pizza Factory. And I also I worked at the funeral home there in Provo, picking up dead bodies. That was quite an experience. But so I learned the streets of Provo Orem very, very well. Yeah. We didn't deliver to Springville. I didn't know Springville very well. But, yeah, it was one of those things, for whatever reason, right? You know, you get this feeling, well, I'm ashamed of you because you don't know your way around. That really shouldn't be a thing, right?
I don't know. Maybe it's a superiority kind of thing. Like
It shouldn't be, though, right?
No.
Like sometimes, especially when I was driving professionally, I was like, yeah, I know this town like the back of my hand, and you don't, huh? And I was thinking back on that, and I'm like, well, that's stupid. Mm-hmm. If you need directions to get somewhere, big deal. Right?
No, but I just get so turned around. I don't know why. I think I overthink it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's embarrassing because, like, I don't know. Like, I know Pine Valley's north, but I don't know where it is right now.
It's behind me, by the way.
Well, I can't see it, so I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
I'm trying harder to not be that way. Honestly, with technology such as it is, if you have access and are well versed in GPS, that's good enough, right? You don't have to know your way around everything.
Unless the system goes down, then what?
But how? I have 2 different map, whatever, on my phone. What are the odds that they're both going to go down, or that my service provider is going to go out completely? I mean, there are Chinese conspiracy theorists who think the Chinese are going to knock all our electronics out and it won't work. But
it could happen.
I don't know. You love conspiracies, I know. But I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm trying harder to be, you know, just because I know where something is, if you have to use GPS, so what?
Thank you. We appreciate that. That's on the other side.
The only thing that really gets me, my wife and I will go on a trip and she'll be looking it up on GPS or whatever. And she is famous for, and I'm going to get in trouble here probably, but she is famous for, as we zoom by an exit, she'll go, oh, yeah, that was your exit. Or I'll be in the far left lane. There will be 87 cars between me and the exit. And she goes, you got a tenth of a mile to move over. Or you got, see that exit right there? And it's just up to the right. You need to be over there right now. I'm like, why didn't you tell me a little sooner? Oh, just a little.
That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway,
at least he's there to help you, right?
Yes, and your husband is very cruel for playing that game.
I know. Well, I usually drive whenever we go somewhere together because I just.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I like to drive because he's a big guy, so he's 6'5", and he always like kind of pretends like he's cramped. I think just so he doesn't have to drive everywhere.
Wait a minute! What do you mean? I'm 6'5".
I know.
It's a real thing.
But then it's kind of like my car. Uh-huh. And then uh-huh. He has like a big dually, a big truck, and it's
so
like,
when you go places together, you take your car though. Mm-hmm. Usually
take my car. Yeah. We don't usually, our schedules are so crazy that we usually meet where we're going.
Hmm.
So we drive independently to get to like soccer games and baseball games and stuff like that.
I have a wife who hates driving.
Mm.
She's a good driver. She's never been in an accident. I don't know if she's ever even gotten a ticket. She's a good driver, but she just does not like it. She does not enjoy driving. And so if we go anywhere, I'm the driver.
So period. I have a theory about that.
Yes?
Because I used to hate driving when I was married to my ex-husband. Uh-huh. But that's because he was always telling me what a better driver he would be than I would be.
I don't do that, no.
And he would like be rolling himself up against the window when I'd take a curve and like being extra dramatic.
No,
I wouldn't drive when he was around. I would make him drive if we were going somewhere together.
That's a good theory, but I will say this. This is not a new thing. This is something for the 36 and a half years we've known each other. Mm. She just doesn't like driving. Now, she's from New Jersey. You can't get your license until you're 17 in New Jersey.
I didn't know that.
So she didn't even have her driver's license until her senior year. Mm. And in New Jersey, another thing, weird thing about New Jersey, they're talking about changing this law, but you cannot pump your own gas.
Yeah, I've been through New Jersey, and that was
against
crazy.
The law. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when we got married, she didn't like driving, and she certainly wasn't going to put gas in the car. And so off time she would come home and she would go, my car's low. I'm like, what does that mean? You need to go put gas in my car. Oh, I got it. Okay.
Princess. I didn't know that about her.
Yeah, no.
That's awesome.
Well, she's done it before. She just prefers not to.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Interesting. But you know, the thing about it is I like driving. I enjoy it. Like I said, I did it for a living for several different, gosh, maybe 6-7 different companies during the course of from 18 to 24, mm-hmm. You know, that age. So I really enjoyed driving. I think one of the psychologies behind it, you know, if you're looking for hidden meaning, I'm a big guy who I am not fast, afoot.
Mm.
And I always felt like being in a vehicle equalized things for me because I can go just as fast, same speed as everyone else. Even though I'm a bigger, slower guy, if I get in a car, my car will go as fast or sometimes faster than your car.
So. Okay, but you're not like Jekyll and Hyde behind the wheel, are you?
No. What does that mean?
Jekyll and Hyde, like you're a super nice guy on the outside, but then when you're behind the wheel, you're like driving, cutting people off. And
No. I do tend to, and I got in trouble once for this, talking about this on the air. I do have low tolerance for stupidity.
Mm.
And one of the things, well, I was talking with Jeremy Needles, one of the police officers, about this. I said, the thing that drives me crazy is people that are too nice on the road. People that will disobey traffic laws, stop in the middle of nowhere just to, it happened to me yesterday. I couldn't believe it. Middle of the road on Red Hills Parkway, just right up the hill here.
Mm-hmm.
And they see someone that wants to cross, not in a crosswalk. And they're like, okay, I'll just stop in the middle of a 40-mile-an-hour road and let this person cross.
Mm.
I nearly rear-ended them, and by in relation, the guy behind me on a motorcycle nearly ran into the back of my truck because this guy just decided out of the blue, I think I'll be nice right now.
Wow.
And disobey the traffic laws and let this person go.
Maybe he was chasing after his dog. And I don't know. You don't know the whole story. Maybe.
I don't know the whole story. I just know that. sometimes you just and the thing about it, if he had gone ahead and followed the traffic rules, the three of us would have gone past. This guy would have had a clearing to cross anyway.
That's valid. That's valid. So, but I do think people need to pay more attention to crosswalks.
That's true.
Because I've seen little kids trying to cross on the crosswalks coming home from school, and people are just going by. I'm like, so I'll just stop on the other side, and so they feel bad if they don't stop.
I interviewed a crossing guard last year. And I mean, it was last year, so it was like November. So it was like 4, 5, 6 months ago. And she said, it's like I'm invisible. Like they don't want to stop, number one. And then when I do finally get them to stop, the kids cross, and then I'm still in the crosswalk with my stop sign up, you know, starting to walk off, and they'll zip by me. And she's actually been hit twice.
Over
the years. She's been doing it 30 years, but she's been hit twice, and she says more narrow misses than she could count.
That's so sad. And but even when there's not crossing guards, people are they're not stopping.
That's true.
So I think cops should sit by the crosswalks and catch a couple of people.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. Hey, I don't know. It doesn't sound like you and I talking earlier. Maybe you jumped on the whole Caitlin Clark phenomenon bandwagon, but this is pretty awesome. So Caitlin Clark is a basketball player, a college basketball player for Iowa, the Iowa Hawkeyes. They're having a great year. In fact, they play tonight. I think it's their game is at 5 o'clock this evening on ESPN. And a lot of people for a long time have been saying, "What's wrong with women's sports? Why doesn't anybody want to watch women's sports?" And there were a myriad of excuses given. You know, they're not as good as the men. It's slow moving. Whatever it is, all kinds of excuses. But I would speculate, and in fact, this writer on the Deseret.com would speculate, women just needed a poster child, a star.
Like a Michael Jordan?
Yeah. You took the words right out of my mouth, as a matter of fact. They needed somebody that everybody could, like the gym, remember the Jimmer Fredette sensation back, I don't know, about 15 years ago? Maybe it's 13 years ago. Anyway, they needed somebody to capture the imagination of the country, to get excited about, to want to see. And Caitlin Clark has become that person. Now, Caitlin is a senior at Iowa. She's going to be a professional basketball player soon, but she would really like to get her team a national championship before she leaves. Caitlin averages about 29 points a game, which is phenomenal. She has become, about maybe a month and a half ago, she became the all-time women's leading scorer in college basketball. And then about a month ago, or 3 weeks ago, she became the all-time leading scorer, women and men. She passed Pistol Pete Maravich, LSU, as the all-time leading scorer in basketball. And when she broke the record, she shot a three-point shot from about 35 feet out. Jimmer Fredette range, Stephen Curry range.
Really?
Way outside and set the record. And like I said, I would contend that women's basketball needed a Michael Jordan. They needed somebody, and I don't think it has anything to do with race. I don't think it has anything to do with gender equity or anything. I think it has to do with they just needed a star. Mm-hmm. They needed somebody that everybody would go, yeah. Because there was this, remember Kate Bird? Well, you probably don't, but it was about Kate Bird was really big for a while. Cheryl Swoops was really big for a while. Even Brittany Griner. They all helped elevate women's basketball, but there was never a superstar like Caitlin Clark who set the all-time scoring record. And now they have it. And last week, in their victory over the defending national champion LSU, the game drew 12.3 million viewers on ESPN. That is the most watched college basketball game ever on ESPN.
Really?
And I'm not talking about most watched women's game. I'm talking about most watched college game, period, ever on ESPN. That's pretty awesome.
That's amazing. What about Shaquille O'Neal's daughter? My husband was watching like a documentary thing on her on ESPN. She's like a really strong basketball player too. I just didn't know anything about her.
I don't know anything about her. I think what Caitlin Clark is doing for women's basketball is going to help people like her because we're going to start to take notice that hey, this is pretty cool. And the thing about women's basketball, they have they follow generally the same rules as a men's game, but they do some things different. They have four quarters instead of two halves, and you know the 3-point line's a different length. The ball is a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people, guys even, who would say, "I'm never going to watch women's basketball," guys are going, "You know what? I want to see this. This mm-hmm. is pretty cool."
Yeah, my husband's been watching women's basketball this week, so now I know why.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark.
There we go.
She's amazing. Now, this writer cites some other things that help with Caitlin Clark. Let's see what else she's... let's see. She's the Taylor Swift of college sports. She's big, bigger than any athlete in the country at the moment, man or woman. She, in Google searches in the last week, she has more than twice as many as LeBron James. How cool is that?
Really?
The average attendance for Iowa women's basketball this season was 11,143. That's the average home attendance for a women's basketball game in Iowa. That is amazing. That's awesome. Phenomenal. Let's see. Also, more about Clark. Let's see. Greg Doyle, the Indianapolis writer who covers Iowa, said, "We've never seen someone like Caitlin Clark before on the women's side. She steals, blocks, passes like Larry Bird, drives to the hoop like Michael Jordan, shoots from downtown like Steph Curry. She broke the all-time women's basketball scoring record by draining a 35-foot shot almost 13 feet behind the 3-point line." And then he says, not only that, she has this other stuff about her. She has a big smile, the enthusiasm of a puppy, the relentless hustle, the exhortative gestures to the crowd, and she looks toward her father in the stands every time, not every time, but most times when she makes a basket, she mm-hmm. looks toward her dad. And she said, what is it about basketball? She said, it's just so fun.
I love that.
Yeah, it's infectious. It makes you want to root for her. It makes you want to root for women's basketball in general.
Yeah, her energy. She's sharing it with everybody. I love that.
Yeah. By the way, Caitlin has scored more than 3,900 points and has averaged during that time, while scoring all those points, also 8.3 assists per game. Assists is when you pass and someone else scores.
And how tall is she?
She's 6 foot tall.
Oh my gosh.
She's a guard, a great shooting guard. So if you haven't jumped aboard the Caitlin Clark bandwagon, just spend a few minutes and watch a game today. It's on at 5 o'clock. They take on UConn. Mm. The other game is at 7 o'clock. It's an undefeated South Carolina team. So it's not going to be easy. If Caitlin Clark is going to win the championship, she's got her work cut out for us. They beat the defending champs last week. They face perennial powerhouse UConn this week or today. And then on Sunday, if they win today's game, they would play most likely an undefeated team from South Carolina. So mm-hmm. we're cut out for it. But certainly a script written in Hollywood.
Awesome. I love a good victory story like that.
Caitlin Clark is her name. There are people out there, and this was kind of sad after she had that great game. She scored 41 points last Friday. There are people out there who said, oh, it's a white thing. It's because she's white.
Oh.
And especially, I think a former, I think it was Paul Pierce, got on ESPN and said, if it was a black girl, we wouldn't be talking about her.
Oh, that's sad.
I think that's just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's dumb that he's saying that.
We should celebrate everybody's victories, no matter what color they are.
Absolutely. All right, speaking of victory, you can win a book right now, American Playbook by Clay Travis. If you'll call right now, 673-5890, Mello is going to answer the phone, 673-5890, American Playbook by Clay Travis. If you call right now, I'd love to give you a copy. Again, 435-673-5890. Let's check weather while you guys call.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
All right, welcome back. Again, if you're into, I don't know, community type stuff, even a cheap date night tonight is the football game tonight between Washington City and St. George City. Teams have been assembled by Mayor Randall and Mayor Staley. And all the money raised goes to the Children's Justice Center. What a great cause. I talked about this a little bit yesterday or day before about the Children's Justice Center. And I appreciate Christy Pike and her group over there at the Children's Justice Center. Sadly, in this world, some bad things happen to kids at the hands of some adults that a lot of times they put a lot of trust in. And I wish we didn't have to have a place like the Children's Justice Center where kids are interviewed and sometimes medically tested. I mean, rape kit and stuff. I mean, like I said, stuff that hurts my heart just to even think about, Mello. And mm-hmm. I'm glad we have a place like that. And if we can support it, I know Mayor Randall yesterday said Tech Ridge gave $5,000 right up front. Stephen Wayne gave $2,500. And that money goes right to the Children's Justice Center. It doesn't go, they're not, you know, taking 10% off the top or anything like that. It just goes right to the Children's Justice Center. And like I said, I wish we didn't have to have a place like that. We do, though. And I'm glad there is a place where kids can go and feel safe and try to get better. And it's not super clinical like a hospital or something. It's a place where kids can go and hopefully feel safe.
I love that.
So. Anyway, that is tonight over at Dixie High School, 6 o'clock. I'll be over at Pineview High School, so I will not be there, but I'll be at Pineview High School doing a baseball game on ESPN Radio. Pineview and Dixie should be a good battle. And tomorrow morning is you can meet some of the artists for Art Around the Corner, some of the sculptors and stuff from Art Around the Corner tomorrow morning. That's at 10 o'clock right there in downtown City Square, where I'm hoping my plan is to do a little pickleball in the early and then go on over from pickleball over to Art Around the Corner.
Nice. Well,
you're going to get over there? You ought to come over. You ought to come over.
I'll try. I'll do my
come
best.
On over. All right. Come on. You're probably showing a house or something right then, though, aren't you?
Tonight? No.
No, tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow morning. Yeah. I'd be sleeping, but I can make changes to my plans.
You're going to sleep past 10?
Oh, my gosh. A couple weekends ago, really? I slept until 10:30, and it was the best. Nuh-uh. It was the first time I've done that in decades.
I didn't think you were, you know, at a certain age, you can't sleep in anymore because things hurt.
I think it was when I went to Mesquite for that live
show. Oh, the concert. You had to host the concert and you were out late.
Right. Actually, they switched that up on me, but, I ended up going the night before. They asked me to come the night before so I could promote it the day before the concert. And then they actually gave me a free room to stay that night. So me and my husband stayed that night. And then they gave me 4 tickets for the concert the next night. So I came back down with my husband and some friends. And then we drove back because it was Easter the next morning. So we didn't get back until like 12 or 1. And then the Easter Bunny, I paid my daughter to help me get all the candy and
you,
stuff together.
Wait, you had to pay your daughter to help?
I do. They are financially motivated. Yeah, but I figured I'll help her move out.
Was there free food involved in this whole Mesquite thing?
Actually, we did get $80 of free food vouchers, too.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, so they took care of us, and it was great, but I do not stay up that late ever.
You're a party girl.
No, I'm not. Never have been.
By the way, congratulations to Lisa and Eric for winning the Clay Travis book, American Playbook. We're going to give away another one here in about 5 minutes. Mello didn't understand that I was only giving one away, but she gave away 2. But that's okay because we still have a few left. And so we're going to give another one away here in just a couple of minutes. But we appreciate Lisa and Eric for listening and for calling and being a part of the program. That's really fun. Okay, let me go over here and get to the right page. Oh, you're going to love this. This is a great study. Did we talk about the pig guy yet, though? Did we talk about that on the air, or was that off the air? I can't remember.
I think it was off the air.
Yeah, I think so. In fact, that's what got us talking about GPS a little bit. So in Grantsville, Utah, now if I say Grantsville, I would say 97% of the people listening know where I'm talking about. Mello is not one of the 97%. She's like, is that northern Utah somewhere? I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I said, well, it's by Tooele. She's like, oh, okay.
I appreciate
She doesn't
it.
Know where Tooele is either. So west of Salt Lake City, west being the way toward Nevada and California. Mm-hmm. Colorado is east. West being, if you take I-80 west, and you'll run into Tooele, and just off the freeway a few miles is Grantsville. Anyway, guys, pigs got loose. Not kidding. Mm-hmm. And so what do you do when the pigs get loose? You call the police, right?
Call the police.
Apparently. So they called the police. There were pigs running around the neighborhood, and there is a viral video. You can view it right now. Just on my Facebook feed this morning, in the last 3 hours, I've seen it flip by on my Facebook feed like 4 times. So I know it's out there, but if you can't find it, if you don't haven't seen it, just scroll for police and pig. And
that sounds really bad.
I know it does, but anyway, this guy, so he's trying to catch this pig. And it's in a front yard, and they're in the grass for a minute. And then the pig runs across the driveway over to, you know how people have, like, grass and then driveway, and there's, like, a gravel section after that?
Mm-hmm.
So he finally gets the pig kind of cornered, and he decides now is his chance. And he dives, full-on dives, and lands on his arms and elbows and captures the pig in this cement and gravel. Yeah.
Road rash.
Now, we haven't gotten an update on how the officer is doing, but it looked painful.
Yeah, that's...
The good news is he did capture the pig. He carried the pig, and they were able to put it away, and they ended up catching all the pigs. And somebody's going to make bacon later, I think, or something. Yeah. But
have you ever caught, like, a wild... Not wild, but, like, a livestock animal? Have you ever, like, grabbed one? In your life?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I caught a chicken.
I've caught chickens before, and ducks.
Okay, I've not caught a duck.
Lizards, which are not stock animals, but, you know, they're hard to catch. And
they're fast.
Don't grab them by the tail. The tail will come off.
That's so scary when that happens.
Kind of disgusting, yeah. But I've never caught, like, a sheep or a cow or a pig or anything like that. So.
No, I haven't either. It's scary, though, when you, like, grab the chicken and they start flapping.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. One of my favorite pictures from my raising my children was my daughter, Katie, when she was about maybe 8. They had some, I would call them pet ducks, I guess. You can't really domesticate a duck, but they were ducks that lived on these people's property. And somebody picked up the duck and handed it to my daughter. And we have this picture of my daughter, Katie, trying to hold the wings down with the duck. And it's just, it's one of my favorite pictures.
How cute.
So, but anyway, the cop did catch the pig, and the viral video is out there, and it has, last I checked, it had 1.4 million views of this cop diving and catching this pig.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch it.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool. And that is the definition of viral right there, when you get more than a million views on something so seemingly simple. It's actually taken, so someone is in a car on the street in front of the house, filming from the window. With their phone, and they captured the policeman doing this. So it's not the greatest video, but it's not terrible. But he caught the pig. Congratulations. And yes, there is a pig cop joke in there somewhere, but we're going to leave that alone for now.
No.
Yeah. But does make me want bacon. or pulled ham. I did a pulled ham for Easter. Do you know what a pulled ham is?
Never had that.
So you take a ham... Uncut. You know, they like to pre-cut your ham nowadays, spiral cut and all that. So, no, you don't want it cut. And, in fact, if you can get one that hasn't been cooked anymore, you pretty much have to buy ham cooked. But anyway, and then you score the outside of it. You just cut slices, cut.
Score it, yeah.
Yeah, score it. And then you slow cook it for hours and hours and hours. I did it 14 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
But... So the internal temperature reaches 200 degrees. At that point, the ham, like pork, will tear apart, like pulled pork. And about maybe an hour or two before the IT reaches, the internal temperature reaches 200, you put the glaze on. I used a pineapple habanero glaze. And then when it reached 200, I was able to take my little meat claw things and tear it apart so it was like pulled pork. And it turned out might be the best thing I've ever made on a smoker.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
Ham is not cheap, though. I almost bought some ham for Easter.
Well, you have to watch the deals.
It was expensive.
I got it for $1.50 a pound. It wasn't bad.
Really?
Yeah. And in fact, right after Easter, like the day after, on Monday... They were selling ham, I think, at Walmart for 50 cents a pound because they were clearing it out.
Oh.
So I bought a couple more hams and stuck them in my freezer.
You're smart. I didn't do that.
But we digress a little, right, talking about meat?
No, we can always talk about
this. Let's give away one more book, and then when we come back, I'll tell you about this really good study and article that is out about wokeness when we come back. Right now, call to get a book. It's American Playbook by Clay Travis, a free copy, giving it out today. All you have to do is call 673-5890, and you are in like Flynn.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning to you. 949 on KDXU. I'm Andy. Congratulations to Jeanette. She won a copy of American Playbook by Clay Travis. We are down to six copies left. I don't know when Mello comes back in next Friday. I don't know if we'll have any left, Mello. I'll see if I can make them last till Friday.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, so today's winners, Lisa, Eric, and Jeanette. Mm-hmm. Come get your books here at Town Square. We're over here on North Bluff Street. Next week on the program, on Monday, Gary Lee Price is going to join me. You say, who is that? Well, Gary Lee Price, you could actually meet him tomorrow morning. He's one of the sculptors. In fact, he's done a lot of the big sculptures for Art Around the Corner in St. George. And he is an entertaining character, and we're going to bring him and his wife in and talk about some of the inspiration. I encourage you, if you would, go to GaryLeePrice.com. He's got a website. He has, I would say, somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 sculptures, pictures of the sculptures on his website. Everything from social consciousness to sports to kids, you know, all his sculptures have like this really cool, deep feel and meaning to them. So, yeah, just go to GaryLeePrice.com and learn more about him. On Tuesday, McCray Hepler will join me. We're going to have Steve Dunham from the school district on Wednesday. Let's see, I believe Nanette Billings on Thursday. We're also going to hear from, I'm not sure which day, because what I have to do is I have to pre-record the interview in the afternoon, and then we'll play it during the day. But Celeste Malloy and Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives,
will join me.
And we will chat. They could not do mornings, but they're like, do you still want to do the interview because we can't do it live? I'm like, oh, yeah, I do want to do the interview. So that'll be a pre-tape interview. Pre-taped. How old am I? There's no more tapes, Andy. but that'll be a pre-recorded interview on KDXU at some point next week when I have time to play it.
That's great. I'm happy about that.
It's funny because he is Speaker of the House of the U.S., they wanted more information about me, about my show, and about what I wanted to talk about. And they said basically, here are the things that we would like to talk about. Here are the things we'd rather not talk about. Mm. And I was like, well, what if I ask about these things? They said, well, Mike is actually pretty casual and he'll talk about them anyway. I was like, okay, because I'll probably ask him anyway. So that's the way it happens.
That's fun.
So that's all next week. And also later on, next week we're going to, a lady named Susanna is going to be, she won't be on the show, but she'll be on the morning show, and I might play some of her comments during the Andy Griffin Show. She is an advocate. She is a person who cares about people who are blind. Mm. And she is having a fundraiser to raise money for Southern Utah people who have lost their sight.
That's great.
And so I think that's going to be pretty cool as well. So, all right, we only have a few minutes left. I did want to talk about this article because I quite enjoyed it. It's written by Walker Larson and the website intellectualtakeout.org. The title of the article is Study: The Surprising Connection Between Your Politics and Your Happiness. Mm. Now, this study was put together by, now who are the happiest people on earth? Do you remember talking about this? Happiest people on the earth are from?
They're from Finland, right?
Finland, yeah. Finland. So some Finnish psychologists got together and said, all right, so we're pretty, in Finland, we're all pretty much the same. We all kind of have the same ideology. We all kind of have the same political beliefs. there's not a lot of conflict in Finland, but they said, we noticed in the United States of America, there is a lot of conflict when it comes to politics. And in particular, there's a lot of unhappy people in the United States. We went from being top 10 happiest countries in the world to we're like 31 now.
Really?
Yeah, we're not doing so well. And so the scientists in Finland said, well, let's do a study and try to correlate politics and happiness. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put together a study with these questions, and you're supposed to rate how much you agree with the question on a scale of 1 to 10. And this is a sample of the questions on the test. Remember, you're supposed to rate whether you agree or disagree. Mm-hmm. So we'll test Mello here while we're doing it. All right. Statement number one, if white people have an average higher level of income than black people, it is because of racism. Do you agree or disagree with
that? Disagree.
All right. If you were to scale that one, you'd probably be 1 out of 10 then, right?
Yeah, depending on which way the scale slides, yeah.
Yeah. Number two, university reading list should include fewer white and European authors.
No, I disagree.
microaggressions should be challenged often and actively.
No. Like Karens? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, people that get mad online. Okay. You should respond to the trolls and stuff.
No, ignore them or delete them.
If a white person, this is statement number four, if a white person doesn't admit they're racist, they're probably still racist anyway.
No.
Okay. Statement number five, do you agree or disagree? Trans women are really women.
No.
They really are.
Don't agree.
No. Statement number six, a member of a privileged group can adopt features or cultural elements of less privileged groups.
I don't understand that all the way.
Okay, well, we'll skip that one. The police are institutionally racist.
No.
All right. The ideas of Karl Marx should have more influence in national politics. Mm-hmm. We should be more into communism and socialism.
Negative, ghostwriter. No.
Statement number nine, other people or structures are more responsible for my well-being than I am myself.
No, venomously disagree with that.
And number 10, you should not say things that might ever offend any oppressed person. You should never say things like that.
I think you should be kind, but I think you should still say what you feel.
Okay. So they took those 10 statements and they had people in America respond on a scale of 1 to 10 on how much you agree with those statements. All of them, pretty much, you're woke. Mm. Ideology, right? If mm-hmm. you agree, if you go high on all of those, you're probably a pretty woke person, mm-hmm. right? According to the study, agreement with such statements was positively correlated with anxiety, depression, and unhappiness.
I can see that.
Strong correlation. Now, the author then posits, he says, okay, are they unhappy and so they gravitated toward wokeness, or did wokeness make them unhappy? And he could not, and the study does not differentiate which came first, the unhappiness or the wokeness. Mm. But he said, it actually kind of doesn't matter, because the wokeness and unhappiness seem to be very much parallel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
great study.
Yeah. It's a great, again, the article is on intellectualtakeout.org. It is by Walker Larson. The title of the article, Study the Surprising Connection Between Your Politics and Your Happiness. They did a later study changing the question slightly, so they weren't quite so, they didn't trigger our good woke
friend. Yeah, they do have to very be careful in crafting that.
And they found the correlation, it didn't actually change one bit. This one fact, though, did come out of there. 3 out of 5 women view woke ideas positively, while only 1 out of 7 men. So 60% of women, but only about 14% of men score of 6 or higher on the questions. Average score of 6 or higher.
I wonder if that's because maybe sometimes women feel a little bit disheveled or like pushed aside, so they're siding with people they think are too. I don't know. That's interesting.
I don't know. Allow me to quote from Matt Walsh, though, as we wrap up this bit. He says, wokeness attracts, and Matt Walsh, by the way, has a show on our station here at 5 o'clock every day. Wokeness attracts unhappy people, and it also makes people unhappy. he said. Social justice, with its emphasis on victimhood and oppression, tends to remove human agency and responsibility from life. For those who adhere to such beliefs, this could create a feeling of losing control over one's own life and future, which is the very essence of anxiety, right? Isn't that where anxiety comes from? You've lost control. You have no control over your situation. So basically, the bottom line is this, whether it attracts already unhappy people or it makes people unhappy, it does create anxiety and adds to depression, and that's kind of sad.
Yeah,
that's kind of sad. Go woke, go broke, maybe, and go woke, go sad.
I know, that's a sad thing.
Thanks for playing today, Mella.
Thank you.
We're out of time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Congratulations again to Jeanette, Lisa, and Eric for winning.